guys. You're listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I'm your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me, as always, live from Hampton, Maine, is my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, tell the people how you're doing.
Howdy. I'm doing good. I already talked to our special guest about our weather report, so I don't think I want to... let's just say it's a little bit cold for the end of April.
Oh my God, it's so is. This episode is released, we're recording in April, but it's the episode will be released on May 1st. May so hopefully 1st. It'll be warmed up by then.
I can't believe it's May 1st. It's crazy. Yeah, it's hard when I have a lot of dogs to be cold and rainy because then we're stuck inside. So
oh my God. And their like barks echo off the walls.
Yes. But yeah, I'm doing good.
Well, I think our guest said he was also dealing with some freeze warnings as well before we started recording. You know him from our Oscar episode and our Oscar do-over episode. Please welcome from a little bit north of me, but still in New York State, my brother, Rob Malone. Rob, how are you?
Okay, Jeff. Sorry. I got a mouthful. I'm eating some leftover pita. It's great.
I thought it was a cookie when you first put it in your mouth.
It's very crunchy.
I don't know how our listeners feel about eating on mic. Are they fans or what do you think their opinion is?
I was trying to finish before I was on mic, but I know you got a strict schedule here at That's Entertainment, so I didn't want to delay any further.
Yeah, we have a three strikes and you're out rule when it comes to keeping time with our guests. So
yes, we're very strict here.
Okay.
I should share some of the threatening emails that I got from Jeff leading up to this about my performance.
Yes. Every guest gets a performance review after each appearance that they make. And you're on a probationary period after your first guest appearance, no matter how well it turns out. So, yeah, we take it very seriously.
To decide if they can come back again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So as you can tell, Rob, he did perform well enough to be invited back. So
third time.
Yes, and third officially. Who will be the first to make it into the Five Timers Club, do you think?
I'm saying your dad.
Okay. That's pretty close.
Has he done three or four?
Well, I think it depends on how we count mini episodes, because I think he's been on two full length ones.
Oh, okay.
And at least one mini episode. And then he's also made like a cameo appearance at the end of one.
Oh, okay.
And we might have him scheduled to come on soon for another one. So,
yeah.
So he'll have been on in some capacity in at least five different episodes, but in terms of being the full official guest, I think he's got at least a couple left to go. Okay. But anyway, oh man, it's been a few weeks. When were we last recording together? Was it our Oscars reaction episode?
Yeah, that was the last one, the end of March.
Yeah, because I took off last week for a bachelor party. I was down in New Orleans.
Oh yeah, was that fun?
How was New Orleans?
It was warm. It was didn't drop below 70 very much at all. Yeah, didn't need to apply any hand lotion at all the whole trip.
Is it wild there?
Quite a bit. Yeah, it's we were on Bourbon Street Friday night, and like it feels like it's Mardi Gras there year round, pretty much.
Yeah.
I went to New Orleans once. That's all I have to say. It was very cold when I was there. Also, it was the beginning of Mardi Gras, and we didn't understand that. We thought we were getting there after Mardi Gras was over, but we were there, and the Saints had just won the Super Bowl, and we didn't have a place to stay.
Must have been crazy. Yeah.
Well, we found a hotel the first night, then everything was booked, and then we luckily found a friend of a friend, and they let us sleep on their floor.
I'd like to see it just once, but I've never. My friend Lynn just and her family just went like a few weeks ago before you, Jeff. But now you're back.
Now I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. I couldn't stay away from our listeners for long. All right. Yeah, so in case you're a new listener, you might want to know what the heck the deal with this show is. Well, on That's All Entertainment, we pick a pop culture topic and discuss it according to the three Fs. First, favorite, and forever. And I think you'll figure it out as what that means as we go along. And this time around, we've picked perhaps the most pop culture-y of all pop culture topics. Because in a way, it kind of envelops all of the other topics. It's a certain publication called Entertainment Weekly, which still exists, but they've recently ceased publication of the print edition. So that's why we decided to talk about it today. Because all three of us have been loyal subscribers to the magazine. But now there's no magazine to hold in our hands and subscribe to anymore. So consider this an elegy. So is everybody ready to talk about it, to say ooh? Or...
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll do a quick little intro to set the scene, and then we'll dive right in. We'll turn the page, as it were. Okay, here we go. On today's episode of That's Entertainment, we're going to talk about how I became a pop culture maven in the first place. Okay, and now for the very first section, which is called First, where we'll be talking about our earliest interactions with the topic at hand. So that means in this case, when did we first start reading and or subscribing to Entertainment Weekly, and what made us want to keep reading? And it is tradition on this show that we will have our guest talk about we'll have our guest talk first. So Rob, when did your relationship with EW begin?
Probably 1998 definitely 98, maybe 97.
I think 97.
You think so? Because when I was going through the magazines, the oldest ones we had were 98, maybe some in 97. Yeah, that sounds about right. When I was 11?
Wow.
I don't know how we were introduced to it or how I was, but I know that I got the subscription maybe as a gift.
I thought it was through a... Well, it may have been a gift, but it may have also been this way, that it was through like a magazine drive at school.
Oh, yeah, that might have been how it started. And then 97 might make a little bit more sense. But yeah, that was when I started getting it, and I was very into movies. Didn't really care too much about the other pop culture in there, but I enjoyed it. Yeah, especially liked the summer previews for the movies and the yearly previews and the Oscar previews. I think that was right around when I was starting to become interested in the Oscars also. But yeah, that was when it started. I've saved a few of my old issues over the years. Most of the ones I saved were the ones that were like the holiday movie previews or Our Guide to 1999 or the 50 best DVDs, which I still think of sometimes when I'm watching a movie that was on their list, even though this is very old and outdated.
Yeah.
It's very fun. I can remember just how new special features were and how they ranked all the DVDs based on the special features that were in them.
And I do you have the issue with you right now?
Yeah.
Can I guess what number one was?
Looking at it, it's not ranked. Oh, wait, okay. It is ranked. Yes. It is. Yes, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can guess.
I'm going to guess The Matrix.
That would be my guess. And you are incorrect.
Oh.
Do you have a second guess?
So 1998.
When was it? When this did the issue come out?
The issue came out 2001.
Oh. And the top 50 DVDs.
Essential DVDs.
Was it a new release? Or
Matrix is in there. Okay. It's not in the top 10, though.
Oh.
This is... I don't know. I've been out for a while. I would say that it's a pretty... It's a pretty common DVD, especially among dudes, among certain Fight type Club? Of film. Yeah, Fight Club.
Oh, wow, that was a weirdly. One.
Yeah, you're never gonna guess number two. It's A Bug's Life.
Oh, jeez. Interesting.
Then, yeah,
going from Fight Club to
the Fight Club DVD. I remember that. That was it. Was I mean, it was there was a lot of great special features on that one. I definitely watched almost all of them. And then also number three, and I'll stop, we can move on, was Brazil, the Criterion Collection, the Terry Gilliam movie. And that was one that I saved up my movie theater money to buy eventually, because that was a very cool version. And I remember the Entertainment Weekly talking about it. But yeah.
Well, you guys are better at remembering dates. I could not remember. And so I called the EW to see if they could tell me. And the guy said he had December 12th, 2014. And I'm like, no, I know I was getting it way before that. So I was taking a look at some of the covers online. And the one that stood out to me was from 2003. It was the Dixie Chicks on the cover.
Words painted on them.
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm. Naked, but they had all the, and I think so I'd say somewhere, I know I didn't wasn't getting it right from the start, but so somewhere around 2000 or 2003. And the reason I wanted to keep reading it was because it was for anybody who's obsessed with pop culture, it's like, how could you not like it? It was made just for, you know, to, like Rob, you said about the movies, but I liked reading about the TV shows, the movies, the books, the music, and I just felt like, if you know, after I read it each week, I felt like I was really up on what was happening, so that's why I wanted to keep getting it. So Jeff, you would have gotten it around the same time that yeah. Did you guys have it sent to your house, like
subscribed to it? Yeah, I think it was in my name.
Oh, okay.
All these are addressed to Robert Malone, not J. Robert Malone.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing it starting to arrive in the mail, and it said Robert Malone. And I think at first I assumed it was addressed to my dad, but then I figured out, oh, actually it's in Rob's name. And I think we both started reading it. I guess we took turns, or whoever got to the mailbox first. Burped.
Well, yeah, I remember looking forward to it. It was something I looked forward to at the end of the week, every week.
Yeah, it would usually arrive on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the perfect thing. You come home from school, the weekend's about to start, and you've got a fresh issue of Entertainment Weekly to guide you through it.
So, yeah.
An ideal scenario back then. But yeah,
before the internet. Well, I mean, the internet was around, but we didn't check it. So that was another thing. I mean, this is where I got my movie and pop culture news before I would go through the websites and stuff to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that was around the time that I think our aunt Pat, I believe, was like the first person in our family to get the internet. And it was, I think, around the same time. So we probably got it in our home a year or two later. But yeah, it took a little while before any website was a go-to source for reviews and box office information. Like, this was like the breaking news at the time for movies, TV shows, and music and everything else. So I mean it was just an essential source. And I feel like it bred an entire generation of pop culture critics and reporters, and you know, like anyone who's around, who's like in their 30s right now and works as a writer of entertainment in some way, like, always cites Entertainment Weekly as one of the biggest influences for how they started going down that path. And yeah, I mean, it's the same for me as well. I don't think I'd be hosting this podcast if it weren't for Entertainment Weekly. Or maybe I would, but it would be a little different.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think that sets us up nicely now that we've laid that foundation to talk about our very favorite elements of Entertainment Weekly. So we'll move right into the favorite section. So here we go.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
And yeah, let's talk about, do we have any favorite writers from EW, or any favorite columns or covers or single articles? Rob, what do you have for us?
I do not remember the writers' names. I remember there was, what's it called? There was some guy who you thought was pretty funny who did a lot of lists and stuff. Or maybe the guy who was like, who would comment on the TV guide, or what was on TV.
To watch.
Yeah. Was that guy a funny person? I can't
they
remember.
They've had various people writing that over the years. I think the first one was Dalton Ross.
Yeah, that was the one I was thinking of. I don't know. It's funny. I didn't really notice the writers who were writing the articles. I mean, I know that critics were Lisa Schwartzbaum and Owen Gleiberman. And mm-hmm. I think back then I used to like Lisa Schwartzbaum's reviews more. I feel like she was easier on the movies though. But it's funny. I don't think either of them were really my favorite critics or that I really agreed with their reviews. Even though it was the magazine I read the most. Like I said before, I always liked when they did lists. I liked when they were previewing movies that I was excited for. I liked all the Star Wars issues. I liked the Oscar previews. There's one issue that I really liked. It was 1999, the year that changed movies.
Wow.
And this was just like a big article about everything.
When did that come out?
It came out in November 1999.
Oh, I already knew that it was changing.
Yeah. And what's it called? Yeah, but I also always read like the little, what was it, like sound bites? Was that the thing?
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't actually ever find that funny, but it was just like, you know, comforting that it was something that was there every week. And yeah, like it was good for me to like, I felt like it kept me up to date on what was going on in music and TV, even though I wasn't always following it. I mean, I also read all the TV stuff. But yeah, I think that's.
Did you have a favorite? Do you remember any of the covers? That's a hard one, unless you, because there's
I was looking through the most recent issue, and yeah, they did have some of the old covers, and I remember this Buffy the Vampire. It wasn't a favorite, but I remember it. I remember the Dixie Chicks one. Yeah, I don't know. The cover that they... I do like that cover for episode one with just Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi was just him standing in front of a black screen with a lightsaber. I thought that was... kind of like very bare bones, and I don't know if I like it, but I thought it was interesting because usually mean, it feels like a publicity still. Usually they have, like, if it's for a movie, they have a scene for the movie, or they try a little bit. I feel like the Sopranos covers were maybe kind of cool, and that was before I had ever watched any Sopranos, but I still thought those were kind of interesting and cool. And I liked all the special, I mean, now it's funny when you go to like a supermarket, you see these like special collectors magazines, and it's like, what is that? But back then it was pretty cool when you got, like, because we were subscribed, we would get the 50 greatest directors and their best movies, or like the,
yeah, that was nice.
So it was fun getting that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. None of these covers really, but I think like what it was kind of known for was their covers was usually having someone like the star or someone in kind of like I liked when they were parodying other things. Like, I guess there was a recent one where Amy Schumer was parodying the scene with the roses from American Pie. I haven't seen that, but that just reminds me of like older issues where they would have the people on the cover kind of parodying something else.
Mm-hmm. That's funny you said that, because that's the one I picked as my favorite, the Amy Schumer one. That was like April of 2015. So I looked at it again, but now I forget. Is she laying with
Flowers? But it's not flowers, is it? It's something else.
Pineapple? Something weird.
It's bottles of liquor.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm looking at it now.
Okay. Yeah, that was probably one of my, I mean, I can't, it's so hard to remember, you know, like you said, I was looking and I tried to look at some online, and I was looking in the most recent issue had a bunch in the back. And there's a lot of good ones, but that one kind of stood out to me, plus because I like Amy Schumer. So, but I also agree with Rob on some of the, I always loved the, when the, Oscar race ones would come out, or I also like the reunion issues they started doing. I don't know when they started doing that with different TV show casts. That was kind of fun, you know, like 10, 15 years later. And then at the end, they did the Entertainer of the Year, which I like. And then the columns, I like the must list. I still like that. They do their 10 like things that you should check out. And I like the TV, the what to watch. And I don't know if you remember, Rob, I asked Jeff, and right now on the back, they have the Bullseye, which isn't my favorite, but they've changed that so many times. There's been different, take one of your, from the tooth. Do you have an issue from like, not the super early, because I didn't even
they used
get it
to. Then. Yeah, so
what was some of the back issue, inside back issue
in
thing?
The earlier 2000s, they had encores where they would like flash back to like older issues and what they covered. Yeah, like they did these like little time capsules, some of them even from before they started publishing. That was weird. I remember one of the things they used to have in the back was I guess it's different than this, was Stephen King used to do weekly essays.
That Jeff mentioned that. Yeah,
but I liked those.
There was some other funny ones, but I couldn't remember what they were.
Yeah, those seem more recent. Jeff, do you remember any of those?
Yeah, I don't know. From when we started, I feel like the Bullseye was the most frequent back page.
They've been doing that.
I feel like there was something else when we first started subscribing. I'm not sure.
All
what
of
it
these
was.
Older ones that I have the encore in the back.
That's
just something I forgot
enough.
About.
Huh. And then the last I put, I don't know if it was Lisa and Owen. I know they were the movie reviewers, but I like sometimes they would both. I know it was Lisa. I don't know if it was always with Owen. They would both like do a take on a movie or a show. They each give their opinions. So they did kind of like a double. I don't know if it was really a review or, you know, if they picked a list of their favorites and they both commented on them. That I kind of liked when they did that. Was that, do you remember that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Was that?
Was it like they, it was like a back and forth, like a conversation thing?
Was that Lisa still, and with Owen or with somebody else?
Probably, because I mean they were the two main film critics for quite a while.
So I liked when they did those, the back and forth. That's all I've got for the favorites.
I liked the TV critics and the DVD critics also. And I would read the music reviews all the time also.
I read them half the time. Well, now a lot of times I don't even know the singers. I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting too old.
This is from, oh wait, sorry. You should go.
No, it's fine. That's, go ahead.
Well, this isn't going to work because it's a visual. This is, podcasting isn't a visual medium, but I was just looking through the 1999 summer movie preview, and they have this really cool illustration by this guy, Charles Burns, who's he's a famous indie comic book artist and writer. He wrote this comic book series, Black Hole, and it's just cool that they had him, hired him to draw this. I was surprised by that, kind of shocked.
I didn't put that on Instagram or something. Yeah.
I'm going to share with some of my nerdy comic book friends.
Yeah.
Right now.
All right. Yeah. Well, my favorites, I think I can pinpoint my favorite Entertainment Weekly critic. And let's see if you recognize this name. It was, she was a TV critic. I think she was their number one TV critic for maybe like 3 years or so. Not that long, but Gillian Flynn.
Oh, I wrote her down too. I have her down.
Is that the author?
Yeah, author of Sharp Objects and Gone Girl.
Oh, that's why I recognized her name when she became famous for writing books.
Yeah, there's
a few people that have written for them and then have gone on to do that, have become authors and stuff. So yeah, sorry. Yeah. So she did TV reviews. I don't remember that. Wow.
Okay. So I credit her for convincing me to check out Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, interesting. Now, are you sure, Jeff?
Oh, I'm positive. I checked yesterday.
Cousins were the ones who got us onto that.
That's true.
Our cousin Dennis.
Oh, okay. Because Rory loves it.
I'll spread the credit around. I believe when we started watching it at their house, I had already read Gillian's review, so I was aware of it. But we didn't have HBO at the time,
that's
so
true,
I hadn't been able to access it. But I was. It was on my radar.
All right, I got that then. I'll give you that.
Thank you. But what really attracted my attention was when she compared it to the short-lived Comedy Central show Stella. She's like, this is a weird show, and like the only thing I can think, the best comparison I can think is this other weird show that was only on for one season. It was like, oh,
and you, I love
that weird show. I bet I'll love this weird show as well. And then a couple of other of my favorite writers are the guys on my virtual background right now, Dan Sneerson and Doc Jeff Jensen, who that was around the time I got to know them when EW was really getting into like posting videos online, because they were doing Lost recaps every episode. It was just the two of them discussing their theories back and forth with each other. And Lost was one of the shows that I nerded out the most over. It was, after I watched the episode, I would go right to EW, and I would go to the website. Jeff Jensen would have like 6-page long reviews, and then the next day they'd have a video recap as well. And Dan Sneerson also does the stupid questions a lot, where he'll ask like really silly queries to whatever celebrity he's interviewing. So those are definitely the ones, the bits that I looked forward to the most.
Did you have a favorite cover?
I guess the one that comes to mind, we already mentioned it a few times, is the Dixie Chicks, or just the Chicks as they go by now. They decided the Dixie was too offensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's certainly a striking image, and that's probably burned in my brain the most of any EW cover.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's is an adequate encapsulation of our favorites. I guess we'll take a break for some trivia. Does everyone have a question?
I've got one. Do you have one, Rob?
I don't have one.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm thinking. I couldn't think of one.
I know. I thought I'd have more, but. This will be for both of you guys then, so don't shout it out. And if so, I was reading, because so I don't, did they every year did was their final issue Entertainer of the Year? Because
I think they kind of it depended. Like there were some years, I think where the Entertainer of the Year and the Best and Worst were in the same issue.
We're in the same. Okay.
But yeah, then there were other years where Entertainer of the Year would be like their second or third to last issue. And then right after it would be the Best and Worst issue.
Okay. Well, this one, and I can give you a hint if you need it, because it's hard, but I guess you might just have to go by the year. So I wrote who won the Entertainer of the Year in 1995. And tell me if you have no clue, tell me if you want a hint.
1995.
I know it's a pretty broad question, but.
Jim Carrey. Oh, wait. Is it Jeff's guess?
You can go first.
My guess was Jim Carrey. But I don't know.
I'll guess George Clooney.
Okay, so it's neither of those. The hint is that it was a whole cast. It wasn't just one person.
Friends.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say Friends as well.
Yeah, the cast of Friends. Good, you guys. That date was a good, I guess. Was that the date they started that year?
I think they started in 94. Oh, okay. So it would have been like midway through the second season that they made the proclamation.
Yeah. Okay. What's your question?
Okay, so before Entertainment Weekly stopped the print publication, they had made another big change. They went to monthly, even though it still was called Entertainment Weekly, but it was delivered 1 month at a time at this point. So when did they start doing that? The very first issue was back in February 1990. Then at some point it went to a monthly. So what was the first issue that started the monthly schedule?
It hasn't been that long. I don't know the month. I'm going to guess 2018. No, I think it's even less than that. Well, it's either 2018 or 2019, I'm guessing. That's okay. Pretty broad. So
pick a month. Just.
Oh, okay. February.
February 2019?
Yeah.
Okay. Rob, what's your guess?
January 2018.
Okay. It was a little more recent than that. And both of your guesses, it was August 2019.
Oh. We were close, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
My Beth wins closest without going over.
Yes.
I knew it hadn't been too long, but so only like 2.5 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forever! Forever! Forever!
All right. Well, now we come to the last section, the forever section, and it's going to be the most bittersweet section this time around because, this is one of the, usually we cover a topic that's still ongoing, at least in some capacity, but this one, well, I guess Entertainment Weekly is still going to exist, but not in the way that we fell in love with it. So yeah, what do we all read the last issue, so I guess we'll share our thoughts about that. But what do we think about the decision to go digital only, and you know, will we still read it online or other or follow the brand in any other way if they put out videos? I mean, they have a YouTube channel, they release podcasts. So Rob, what do you think?
Well, to be honest, I haven't really read it in maybe 12 years.
I think haven't been reading.
Yeah, I think I fell off in college. I don't really, what's it called? I don't have any subscriptions to magazines right now. I had a subscription to the New Yorker for a while, and then the New York Magazine. Thanks to Jeff. And what I do is I just stack those magazines up and plan on reading the articles, and I don't read enough, especially with the New Yorker, because that's just very dense articles, but I would read as much as I could. But yeah, I haven't read Entertainment Weekly in a while. I think going to college, I kind of fell off because it was going to our house in PA every week. So I'm sad that it's going digitally, but it's not, and I'm probably not going to keep reading it. It was interesting going through the last issue, just because it still feels so similar to how it was back in the late 90s and early 2000s when I was reading. Like, it really felt like the same format. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. there's slightly different things, but it really felt similar, which I was kind of surprised by. And the articles are fun, but it was kind of like, it's weird. It feels like it's stuff that you already read, that I read online when I'm reading about new movies and stuff that's coming up. It's a very brisk, like fast read. But it is sad that it's not going to be in print anymore, because I feel like it just gives it a little bit more, I don't know, feels a little more special. And a lot of these like illustrations and stuff like this, like what is Hollywood going to look like illustration that they did in the final print issue, that stuff kind of gets lost online. I feel like you can't really design the format of articles in interesting ways or online, since people are just scrolling down. So that's something that I think is sad, as a lot of magazines are going more and more just digital. But obviously it makes sense, like people don't subscribe to things like they used to.
I think it's sad. I honestly didn't know what this was the last issue until you told me.
Yeah, they didn't announce it in the magazine. No.
And so I was wishing that they had made it a little, like made the issue a little more special, because you really wouldn't know, except I think there was maybe one or two mentions of it, but nothing.
Yeah, they had their retrospective of their favorite covers, and they kind of...
Yeah, the covers. That was about it, yeah. But I'm not happy about it going digital at all. I really looked forward. I know when it was weekly, Rob, sometimes I'd feel like the pressure, like, oh, I'm falling behind. So in a way, I didn't mind that it had gone monthly, because then I could really, you know, make sure that I didn't fall behind. But I looked forward to getting it and reading through it, and I don't see me doing as going online as much. I mean, I might give it a try so I don't feel like I'm missing out, but I'm not big on, you know, I don't like to read online, and I really like that feeling of, you know, flipping through the magazine, and I turn down a page, like the corner, if there was something on there that I think just in the last issue there was a show that I said, oh, don't forget, I checked off. And it's just, yeah, I mean, I'm older than you guys, but I just think it's so sad that that's happening in the publication world. That, I mean, I don't know if eventually we'll have no magazines, but I don't subscribe. The only other thing, I do get TV Guide magazine, and that does help. That keeps me informed of just basic of TV, and they do talk about some like Netflix shows and movies and stuff, but yeah, I'm gonna feel like I'm not as up on the pop culture as I have been. So it's sad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely saddened as well, but it had gotten to a point maybe around 10 years ago, like in the past decade, it was starting to feel like I didn't need EW to keep me in the loop of things. There were so many other sources available. I mean, I definitely prefer reading something in my hand and that smells nice, but all the major news stories break online, so I can find them out, you know, like within the hour. You know, my job has me on my computer all day, so I'll see, and I get email notifications from Deadline, so whenever there's a major news story, I'll know right away. You know, whereas 20 years ago, when we were just starting out reading EW, I would know within a few days, but I didn't feel like I was missing out if I didn't know at the exact right moment. But now, I mean, there's other places I go to for my entertainment news and reviews, like Vulture and the AV Club, and EW can still be a part of that if they've got, you know, I don't know if they do like 100 greatest sort of list, like in one of the most recent issues, they had the best TV couples of all time, and they had an expanded version online. So if they release lists like that, it'll be, you know, I'll check that out on their website. But, you know,
do you know if they're going to do, like, because they have had an EW site for a while, do they do, is it similar to the magazine format as far as, you know, does it have like the must list and the reviews and I'm wondering if it's going to be similar too now that.
I'm looking on the website now. I mean, it's like, I think most of the magazine articles are available on the website in some capacity. Like, let's see here on the homepage, there's a TV, movies, music section. There's a what to watch section.
Oh, okay.
So there's the binge, which it looks like most like recaps of shows. The awardist, so you can always, there's a section. So that's a section for award shows year round. Yeah, so.
I will have to check it out just to see. But okay, sorry, you were talking about.
Yeah, so my hope is that the print edition will return. I know, I mean, that's a bit of a pipe dream, but Newsweek ceased publication and then came back a few years later, so that's still that's being published in print form right now. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely fewer people subscribing to magazines than there were decades ago, but there is some demand. You know, I don't know if the economics justify it enough for the number of subscribers that are still out there. And if there will continue to be enough people like me who do say, yes, I love subscribing to magazines. I love, having them arrive in my mailbox. But, you know, I think if you invest in it and you make it a big deal and present it as a big deal, then that makes it more attractive to people than otherwise. So, yeah, I mean, it exists in some form. If something comes across my radar and there's an interesting article or interesting cast reunion that they post on their YouTube or whatever, then I might check it out. But
yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but I'm definitely gonna miss it.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's just sad.
Yeah. All right. I guess yeah. So, any final thoughts about Entertainment Weekly before we go ahead and wrap it up?
I think we covered it pretty well.
Okay, yeah. Then. Well, in that case, we'll do our final regular features. What do you call that in a magazine table of contents? What do you call the what's the word for the regular features?
The regular features?
there's a word for it. Regular features.
This doesn't
table of contents.
Yeah, this doesn't call it anything on here. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Like, but yeah, like in the they'll have the specials, and then they have everything else that's in it every week.
Yeah. The word I'm trying to think of, I think it stopped being used as regularly as it was.
We'll just call it regular.
Yeah. Well, I do have some magazines in my desk. Let me see. No, that doesn't say it either. Oh, my gosh.
You'll have to look after we...
Yeah, I'll figure it out as soon as we stop recording. Anyway, well, there's probably someone screaming into their at their computer or their phone while they're listening to us. They know the word that we're thinking of. But anyway, it's... it'll come to us right after we hit stop, I bet. Now's the time on the show where we promote anything we've got going on or that someone we know's got going on that we'd like to promote, and also answer the question, is there anything you'd like to recommend that you can enjoy with your aunts and or nephews? Sarab, any promotions or recommendations?
Promotions or recommendations? Let's see. I should have thought about this already. I forgot we did this on the show.
Yeah.
What have I even been enjoying lately? Well, I've actually been going to the movies again, which is fun. And if you can go see a movie with your aunt, you should do it. Even some of us, our aunts don't live close by. So that's sad, but I recommend going to see the new Nick Cage movie with your aunt if you can, even though I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. But I had that written down to the unbearable weight of massive talent. I definitely recommend that. There's a new show coming on Hulu that sounds really good, Under the Banner of Heaven. It's a Andrew Garfield. It's about a double homicide in the Mormon community in the 1980s, and it sounded really good. And plus, I think Andrew Garfield is good in everything I've seen him.
He really had a good year last year. I actually used to not like him, but I really liked him in everything he was in last year.
Yeah,
he won me over. He's another one of those British guys though who's stealing roles from Americans because he always plays Americans. I enjoyed him in everything he was in last year. Tammy Faye, Spider-Man, spoilers alert, and what else? Tick Tick Boom.
Yeah, I loved him in that. Well, spoilers alert.
Well, he shows up. Well, I don't want to, I'm spoiling part of the Spider-Man movie for anyone who hasn't seen it.
He may or may not be in Spider-Man.
Yes,
we're not allowed to say. It's been several months, so people should know. What's it called? Oh, I have a recommendation. This is a few months old now, but I watched it on Netflix. The new Richard Linklater animated movie, Apollo 10 and a half. I thought that was very fun and cute and charming. And if you enjoy 60s nostalgia, the plot is about a kid who secretly went to the moon before Neil Armstrong did because NASA had to test out the spaceship. But really, it's just it's just Jack Black narrating all of the stuff that kids would have done in the late 60s. So it's really just a nostalgia fest. I think you might like it. It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
It's animated in like in the same style that he animated his Waking Life and Scanner Darkly movie, where it's rotoscope, so the actors were acting and then they animated over them. But it's just a lot of fun 60s nostalgia. It's very charming, and I think only like an hour and a half, so nice. I feel like more movies need to be an hour and a half. I saw The Northmen and I really enjoyed it, but it was 2 hours and 15 minutes and it could have been an hour and a half revenge.
I know, like nice and short, and yeah, sometimes they don't need to be that long. And then the last one I said, definitely not to watch with your aunt, but the final season of Better Call Saul, it started and I didn't realize, I went to tape it, the series. Usually it continues to tape from last year, but it didn't. So, or whenever, it hasn't been on for a while, I guess. So I taped it, but it just started this week and I realized it's been on already for a couple of weeks. So then I looked on demand and I couldn't find it. So somehow I have to find the first two episodes, because it's the one I taped this week said episode 3.
So, yeah, help her with that.
Yeah. Do you watch it right on AMC or do you watch it on something else?
On AMC, yeah.
I'm going to have to see. Hopefully maybe I can find this. Do you watch that, Rob?
I've watched most of the first season. I got to get back into it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I liked, I thought that movie, it was, I thought the movie that Nobody with, what's his name, was pretty fun.
With Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
What movie?
Nobody. It's like an action movie. He's a retired like secret agent, and he comes back out. Yeah, it was very violent, but it's so funny to me that Bob Odenkirk, who to me is still the other half of Mr. Show with Bob and Dave, is such a serious guy and/or an action guy these days.
All right. What about you, Jeff?
As usual, I will repeat our open invitation to Ken Chong to be a guest on our show whenever he'd like to. He's got an open invitation.
Someday. And
yes, someday. Someday. And I will recommend this Japanese show that was just released on Netflix. It's Old Enough.
Aaron and I have watched almost all of it, or not. I don't know. Maybe we haven't. We've watched a lot of it, but keep explaining it, Jeff.
Yeah, we were watching a few episodes at the bachelor party that I was at last weekend. it's a Japanese reality show about little kids going on their very first errand.
I read about
2 to 5 year olds, like being sent to the market to buy like curry and fish or something. And then there's another episode where a boy, he's like helping his mom. She's like out farming and she sends him back home to make juice for everyone. And he gets distracted for a while and starts playing with his dog. So like some of the kids do the errands perfectly, while others get distracted by something. There's one where these two kids have to go up to a market that's like at the top of a flight of 200 stairs.
Oh my God.
So they have to deal with wearing themselves out. But yeah, it's very wholesome. Just these.
Yeah.
I don't know if I watched that one. There was one where a little boy and a little girl who are friends they have to go get some treats and some other things for their mom. The boy just keeps running the whole time. And the little girl's like, they told us not to run because the cameras are trying to keep up with them. And then they go to this place to get this dessert or sweet snack. And the little boy's like, I have an idea. How about we eat ours right now and take the rest home? And then they eat a bunch and then...
Is it dubbed or
it's in subtitles, but it's really, and every episode is only like 15 minutes. It's very cute. It's a good thing to watch at the end of the day. It's a good distressor.
Yeah.
Decompressor.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. So that's yeah. That's our LG for Entertainment Weekly. In the meantime, we could leave us a review and we'll read it on air, and you'll become podcast famous. You get your 15 minutes of podcast fame, and you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can support us on Patreon, and you could send Aunt Beth some caffeine pills in the mail so she won't yawn on mic anymore.
Yawning.
But it's okay that she's yawning now because we're about to wrap it up.
But it's late at night.
So let's all say our goodbyes then.
What is good night, everybody?
Good night.
Thank you, Rob, for joining us again. And keep your remotes handy. You are welcome. And your eyes open.
Goodbye.
Waving like they can see me.